This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you here. It's a hump day, or is it a happy Wednesday? Probably not so much for Shocker and Wildcat fans this morning. Rough night of college basketball last night. Woof, just brutal all over the place. We're going to get to some reaction after those games. Jad's cutting up some audio for us. We'll let you hear that throughout the show here today. We'll have Shreya Slada in to talk KU athletics as the Jayhawks bounce back. We'll look ahead for the basketball team, get the latest in the portal and what's been happening for KU football. Been making some noise early on in the portal, to say the least, and what's still to come. So we'll have that for you. We will get you the latest on Patrick Mahomes and his injury. Full participant in practice yesterday. Vegas is reacting. Lines are swinging wildly as we get into it. And we'll discuss what he had to say. It sure sounds like he's going to be playing. But a lot to get into today. It's Jacob Albrecht. It's Tommy Kester. It's Paul Savage. It's a three-man booth on a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Glad to have you with us. Glad to be here. The IHOP hotline is open at 869-1240. That will be brought to you by IHOP, of course. Official breakfast partner of Xbox. Come in and try our decadent, fully loaded French toast only at IHOP. So here we go, fellas. This is about as bad as it gets on a night of college basketball pre-conference on a Tuesday. That was, Tommy, just gross all the way around.
It was a rough outing, a rough night for both Wichita State and Kansas State. You know, what do you do? We got to react to all of it today.
Yeah, it's bad. It's not good. There's no sugarcoating it. It's just it doesn't work, Paul. This time of year, you lose to Kansas City if you're the Shockers. For K-State, it's not Drake. You know, Drake wasn't a bad opponent or anything like that. But to get down early like they did, just isn't what you want to see there either.
Well, no. I mean, it's Drake. Drake's a good basketball team, but it doesn't matter who it is. I don't care. I don't care if it's the number one team in America. You don't want to get down by 20 in the first half, do you? I mean, that's almost the end of the game. I mean, because 20 is a lot to come back from, and it's very disappointing to see. I'll tell you what, if you saw any of the press conference after the game, Coach Tang, he seems a little befuddled because obviously I think the talent on this team is better than they're showing. Now, what do you do to get the talent going in the right direction? That is obviously what you've got to do, and that's what you've got.
Having a little bit of an issue with Paul's audio there, I know, on the video stream. We'll get that sorted out. But look, the bottom line is we're sitting here now. We're trying to figure out what's going on with these teams. I don't know what to say. You know, Paul Mills after the game, very disappointed in the Shockers' performance, apologizing to the fans for the effort from some of those guys. Last night, Jerome Tang, a different take. And again, we'll play this for you later in the show. Kind of challenging, I think, fans for getting on to the players. I'm not exactly sure what that was after the game, and talking about 30 for 30 movies on the bus. Like, I don't know where you have more concern, honestly, Tommy, whether it's with the Shockers or K-State after those games. I've been thinking about that. For me, it's probably a tie, which would be very concerned about both. I think I think they're both very concerning right now. Things that we saw last night.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for Wichita State, I mean, the concern is that you lose a bye game, right? You know, you have to write a check to UMKC And then they beat you on your home court. And, you know, so knowing that, I mean, yeah, I think that the level of concern is pretty high. I would say probably higher for Wichita State at this point than Kansas State, although Kansas State is concerning too. Drake is a really good basketball team. You know, and Kansas State did make it a game towards the end. You know, so there are, I think, maybe a couple of more encouraging points for Kansas State overall. But yeah, both disappointing. I will give the nod, though, to Wichita State at this point.
Yeah, because it's going to kill your resume later in the year. No matter what else happens, Paul, the rest of the year, other than winning the conference, as we're stacking resumes, that loss is going to really, really hurt Wichita State.
Well, and it's even deeper than that, because what can the confidence level be in your basketball team? I mean, you lose to Kansas City. I mean, most people don't even know what their mascot is, let alone you lose a basketball game. This is Wichita State. This is Wichita State. The tradition, the history, the roundhouse, Ralph Miller, this is Dave Stallworth, Cleo Littleton, this is Wichita State. And we're in unprecedented times. Now, I'm not gonna throw the baby in with the bathwater on this, because I still think there's a lot of upside to go. I still think we have a head coach that's still putting his stamp on this program. I think there's a lot of things this team needs to learn. But the bad thing is, if I have to point anything out that I don't like in this scenario, it's their leadership. This is a team that has a lot of senior leadership, or I should say experienced leadership. You've got at least four seniors and a junior getting a lot of playing time. Tommy, don't you have to expect that Wichita State would be showing better, would be competing better, would be playing better? And it goes back to the little things, Jacob and Tommy, and that's like free throws. How about you make some free throws? You think that might make a difference in this game? Well, I think it might make a difference in this game. And right now the Shockers are really, I don't want to say they're shooting 50, but they're hovering around that territory, 50% shooting free throws in the last few games. And there are little things like that that you've got to do. And free throws, guys, isn't that just a mindset? Isn't that just confidence? Isn't that maybe just and I know they're probably shooting enough free throws, you know, in practice. I just can't imagine how many they are. I'll bet they're shooting a ton of them. But right now, they've got to do the little things like make free throws.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. You're right. You can't come out in a game and go 9 of 18 from the free throw line in the second half, especially in a game that you're trailing. You know, Paul Mills challenged the energy level there in his apology. It's just not okay. Like, it's not okay to lose that game at home. You know, blowing a halftime lead and losing by 19 on the road to DePaul. We talked about, you know, okay, that's, you know, that DePaul shot the lights out. Honestly, not a lot you're going to do when a team shoots that way. They were hitting everything. But then you follow it up with that kind of a loss at home. Maybe it's a look ahead situation for K-State, but Wichita State, Tommy, is not in the situation where they need to ever look ahead to anything. I mean, and the reality is there's not enough butts in the seats at Koch Arena for these games. And now you've got fans sitting here a little shell-shocked, like, are we doing last year all over again? Because this is what we saw last year. We saw a team get out to a good start, and then everything crumble and collapse. Well, I mean, I don't think that's going to happen again, but optics of this are really, really bad.
Well, I mean, I think we can just call it for what it is, and I think it's okay to, you know, call a spade here. I mean, this is by far the worst loss of the Paul Mills era. I mean, in the short time that he's been at Wichita State, you know, you go through, and last year was a bad year, right, overall. The conference schedule was not good. You know, the results, they started off the year well, and then they fell apart in conference play down the stretch, et cetera, et cetera. They didn't lose a bye game, right? This takes me back to 2 years ago, the final year of Isaac Brown, when the Shockers lost to Alcorn State. You know, takes me back to that and the feelings of that game. And that's even this game last night is a little bit different than 2 years ago, because I think at that point in the Isaac Brown era, Everybody kind of knew that it wasn't going to be a long-term relationship with Isaac Brown. I think that everybody kind of knew that the program was going to go in a different direction. You had a new athletic director just coming in who was evaluating the program, you know, all of that. And so, yeah, it was really disappointing at the time when Isaac Brown and his team 2 years ago lost Alcorn State. But what's different now is that you felt like there's been this momentum and this growth, and you know, the trajectory is moving upward with Paul Mills and this program, and then you have an outcome like that last night. And so I think that even while I can compare it to what happened 2 years ago, it's a different scenario entirely, and it reminds me of that. But I actually think this is more disappointing than what they went through in that game 2 years ago.
It for sure is. I think expectations are higher, and there's more on the line in college athletics than there was then to some degree. Like the pressure is much higher than it was then, I would say. And I agree. You just can't have that. And I don't even honestly, like, I don't even know what happened, right? It's not like Kansas City and came in and shot the lights out from three. It's not like Kansas City came in and dominated DeJu at the free throw line. They didn't shoot the three or free throws well in that game, quite frankly. Kansas City should not ever out-rebound Wichita State. That's a problem. Wichita State didn't turn the ball over a ton. Kansas City had more turnovers than the Shockers. Like, I got no, I honestly don't know. And I hope that you can just wash it away and come back and have a nice performance this weekend if you're the Shockers. The problem with this loss is it's going to kill you. It's going to kill your resume later. Like, if you're like the chances now of them ever being in the at-large conversation with this loss at home, I doubt it. Unless you know they go on some incredible run here, I doubt it. Very different vibe there for K-State. So that's the Shockers, and we'll get more into this. We'll get to that audio later. Okay. Now let's talk about K-State on the other side of this break, because that's also a very different sort of feeling, I think, around the program right now. We'll do that when we return. It's Albrock Ditzcaster at Savage. It's a Wednesday. Jad Chambers producing. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us all fueled up. Glad to be here with you on a Wednesday. We'll be right back. To work, want to keep listening to Sports Daily even after you park the car? With the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com, you can just download the app, visit Odyssey.com, search for KFH, download the app to get started today. Thanks to everyone listening to us on the app. You can leave us your voice messages there on the app. You can also leave us your video comments, Facebook, YouTube, X, all ways you can look. Patricia asks and says, seems to be a disgruntlement with the players causing problems. I would push back against that. I have not detected that with this group. This group does seem to be good in that regard to me. Now, obviously, we need to pay attention to that sort of thing. But we'll get more into that. We'll let you maybe hear what Paul Mills had to say after the game. The other problem last night is K-State. Now, K-State got back into it. They took that game to overtime. Tang finally loses an overtime game. But they lose the game. They got way down to Drake. And then post-game took an interesting tone. Let's play this Jerome Tang audio first, and then we can sort of react to it. Because what would have been just another disappointing loss, in which K-State still has not beaten a quality opponent this year, turned into a much bigger conversation today because of what Coach Tang had to say after the game. Here it is. Jed has that audio.
Man, Coleman's effort and his leadership, the energy, the enthusiasm he played with was great. His buy-in on, you know, what we wanted to do. You know, I was so proud of that. And it's man, it's a shame, you know, that some of the comments that these guys get, right? Like, the narrative going into this game was that the Drake team, which is a wonderful group of young men, you know, they're super loyal, and they went with their coach, and you know, together. Well, I mean, you look at the guys on our roster, right? Like, let's talk, like, all the ones that we brought in either had graduated from the university they were at, right? So they had an extra year that allowed them to do something, or their coach either got fired or left, right? So, I mean, you know, you talk about like loyalty. Like I got a great group of dudes there, and they're working really, really hard, and they're trying to put into just a few months what, you know, some of the teams have multiple years to do. And you know, you see a lot of this, but for any fans, like the ones who are, or any people who are reaching out and saying negative things to these guys, man, shame on you. Shame on you. You know, we watched this on the way up. We watched the ESPN 30 for 30 broke. And I've seen it multiple times. But the thing that stood out to me this time was all of the athletes talked about the pressure that built when they got money. Right. The first few times I watched it was about how they just wasted their money. But this time what really stuck out was the pressure that they face when they have money, because they feel like, well, I've got to try and deliver something now because I'm being paid. And man, these young guys, they're feeling that pressure. Right. And for fans, so-called fans, to like add on top of that. That's a crime, man. That's just terrible. And those aren't real K-State fans. Like they definitely are not our people and with us and what we are about.
Well, if what you're about is losing every quality game on the schedule, then no, the fans are not going to be with you. Look, I like Jerome Tang. This is a total swing and miss. Total swing and miss. Tommy, Coleman Hawkins is 23 years old. 23 years old. He's been playing college basketball for like half a decade. Jerome Tang does not need to go to the podium to defend Coleman Hawkins because fans are being mean to him because he got a big NIL deal. I mean, that is a total excuse-making swing and miss. I don't know why this team is not working right, but it is not. They have not won a quality game. Okay? Their wins are against Fort Hays State, New Orleans, Cleveland State, Mississippi Valley State, George Washington, Longwood, and UAPB. And they have lost every game against at least a competent opponent this year. That is not the fans' fault for being disappointed in the team. Now, should fans go troll on social media? I don't know, man. That takes a special kind of person that I don't waste. Like, Jerome Tang and these players should not be wasting their time worrying about what social media trolls are doing. If you want fans to be excited about the program, play better. Play better, because now we're at a year and a half of this. That is not a good sign to me that's where we're going after a game like that against Drake.
Yeah, I've got a lot of thoughts about his comments post-game, and none of them are positive. And I like Jerome Tang. I'm like you. I like Jerome Tang. But I agree with you wholeheartedly that was a major swing and a miss. You and I were texting last night about this, and I looked it up because I couldn't remember exactly what the term was. What Jerome Tang did is what you call a red herring. He's distracting away from the actual issue by bringing up something unrelated, something irrelevant to the issue at hand. The issue at hand is that they're not winning basketball games. The issue is that they're falling behind out of the gate way too early, like they did last night against Drake. They're not making the shots they need to make. And the guy that they gave $2 million to in NIL money is not producing up to expectations. He's not performing at the levels expected of him. And so Jerome Tang talking about a 30 for 30 show about players making money and then trying to shame the fan base is a complete mistake. That's not the right direction. That ain't it, Jerome Tang. That's not the way that you go about it. The bottom line is that we are in an NIL world now where these players are making money, and with that money comes expectations. With that money comes responsibility to deliver on the investment that has been given to you. And I think I told you this last night as well. Jerome Tang cannot try to protect these players like boys when they're being paid like men. Bottom line, they're being paid like men. Coleman Hawkins is making more money than I will ever see. And so if he can't handle, and if Jerome Tang can't handle fans being critical of him not performing up to those expectations, then he shouldn't be getting paid $2 million. That's just the bottom line.
And he's not a 17-year-old freshman. Coleman Hawkins is older than Grady Dick. Like, let's be real about this, too. Guys like Coleman Hawkins and Hunter Dickinson and Will Howard in football that stick around to basically be professional college athletes, can we not pretend like college athletes have never been under pressure before? Like, now all of a sudden there's pressure at this level of athletics for a fifth-year, sixth-year senior because he's being paid? That's not why there's pressure on him. There's pressure on him because he's supposed to help K-State be good, and they're not right now. And it's just like, you can't have it both ways. You can't advocate for these players to get paid and be treated like professionals, but then get that defensive when they're being treated like professionals. Right. Like, which way are you going to have it? You can't do both. Either they're little kids that need to be protected, or they're athletes that are getting paid to do a job that aren't doing it well. It just doesn't make any sense. And don't ever shame, and I'm not making that word up, he is, your fans, especially when you're not playing well. You don't get to shame the fans that are paying to go watch you lose. You can't shame them. They're fans. That's what fans do. You got to have a better concept of that. It drives me crazy when coaches do that. It definitely drives me crazy when coaches who have real problems on the court try to do things like that and distract them. Paul, what your thoughts on that?
Everybody's so mean, Jacob. Everybody's so mean, and it's just not fair. That $2 million is only going to go so far. It's not. I mean, it's only $2 million. Come on, you guys are all so unfair.
Do you think that these players would catch criticism if they weren't being paid? Of course
they would.
They would catch the exact same amount of criticism.
You know, Coleman Hawkins said that
he had a great game last night, by the way.
He checked his phone and somebody had reached out to him, I don't know, on social media or whatever, wishing that he would break his leg. And I think that was what Jerome Tang was referencing when he was talking about that, because I'm sure Hawkins told him whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know what? That's not nice. That person's a troll, whatever that is. You're making $2 million. Like, wipe your tears with the dollar bills that you're making, my friend.
I don't even care if he gets paid. If you don't get paid a penny, you ignore those idiots. Like, those fans are idiots that would reach out and say something like that. But you can't holistically come out and make blanket statements about criticism coming to the players because they're being paid.
Right.
If you want to get up there and say, hey, somebody messaged Coleman Hawkins and wished him a broken leg, shame on him, he's an idiot, I got no issue with that. Right, fine. You don't need to, because, again, that person's an idiot that's just looking for attention. It just blows my mind that's where we go in this. Coleman Hawkins had a great game last night. He said it's us versus everybody. Whatever motivation you need, man, I don't care what it is. If you need to make it you against the world, go for it. Just start winning quality games. That's all I care about. Win a game that matters. You know, take care of somebody, not a Cleveland State, if we can. That would certainly help. Man, I couldn't believe that. That, you know, the way they played back in that game and battled back and took it to overtime, that was probably not going to be that big a deal yesterday. And now it's going to be a big deal all week long and a distraction. And that was a big swing and a miss. All right, we'll come back. Let's talk to Sri Islada about what's happening at KU right now. Basketball program bounces back with a nice win in their most recent game from a bad week. And the football program is going nuts right now in the transfer portal. We'll have all that for you. Sri Islada, our KU insider, joins us next on Sports Daily.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on the Kansas Jayhawks. Let's go now to the KU football and basketball beat writer from the Kansas City Star, Shreya Slatta.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on this Wednesday. Shreya Slatta is joining us, KU beat reporter for the Kansas City Star for basketball and football. We'll get to basketball. I want to start with football, Shreya, because it's been an interesting opening to the portal. KU very, very active right now. So, you know, it's hard to follow this stuff 24/7 has them ranked, I think, 13th in the portal classes so far. Of course, there's a lot of big time guys who haven't moved yet. They're third right now in the Big 12. It's a lot of players, not necessarily the headline guys yet, but they've got them with 7 3-star guys. But I think when we look at that, that's pretty critical for KU with all the turnover they have. It's almost less about, you know, down the road and how many of the biggest fish they might be able to lure in, but more about how do you replenish this roster when it will have so many losses next year?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think it's one of those things that, let's call it what it is. If Kansas wanted to have any hopes of contending for a bowl game next year, they had to replenish in a good way the portal. What they've done so far has been impressive, but it's not something I didn't expect because it's a numbers game, right? You had 15 starters leaving, over 30 seniors, 38 who walked on senior day, around 30 plus who are going to leave. And on top of that, you have 5 or 6 guys enter the portal. I think 2 more just added yesterday in their punter and backup kicker. So they've done a really good job of going to these areas that they need depth, that they need starting players, and they've replenished it. They've had multiple offensive linemen, which is big because they bring back 3 guys who have played, who started for them last year at different points of the year and played multiple, like, you know, games starting. They brought in a former 4-star recruit, top 50 recruit, according to On3, in Jahil Hurley, who was 1 year removed. You know, he played at Alabama last year, 1 year removed from that class. I think they've done a really good job of addressing the needs. I think the big thing is, can they bring in another wide receiver or 2 to help Jalen Daniels? The Ball State wide receiver they brought in is pretty good. He was a third team All MAC. Let's see how much that translates. I mean, they have a really young wide receiver room. You know, they had 4 guys brought in, I think, in the last 2 years in their signing class who are wide receivers. So it seems like they're going to lean on that youth a little bit. But I think there's probably an alpha receiver that they haven't gone and gotten yet, which I think is big. But I've been impressed, but I don't think it should be, you know, like super surprising because at the end of the day, they had to replace the guys one way or the other. Whether they're good or bad, we have no idea, right? Like these guys on number, 24/7 Sports and On3, and they're always like, oh, this ranks here. That I don't take much stock into that. I don't think they mean anything. I think it's good for us, and it's easy to tell a fan that this guy was a former 4-star recruit or he's a 3-star, you know, transfer ranking. But the reality of the thing is, I don't really care what happened 2 years ago when you were in high school and you were a 4-star. What's changed since then? Are you still that player? Sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not. So we'll see if the guys they've added are impacting players and, you know, at least at the very least be depth pieces.
Well, when you look at the coaching staff, talk a little about coaching staff, where you think it's going to be, how what changes are made, have been made, are going to be made, or being contemplated to be made. Because, of course, that's really, really important. It gives us an insight as to what, you know, the Jayhawks will be about, how they go about things. What can you tell us about anything going on with the coaching staff?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I think what they've done is they've gone out and gotten some internal hires, which I think are big in the sense of Zebrowski is somebody that they probably should have arguably just hired out of the bat instead of, you know, Jeff Grimes, because it seems like both parties are kind of ready to leave each other in the background, with how quick he took that Wisconsin job. Obviously, it's a good job, but still, I've been pretty impressed. I mean, DK McDonald, it's hard to say how good he's going to be. He has experience. You know, he was at Iowa State for a while. He had the Philadelphia Eagles experience. The defensive back room, I know, was kind of how defensive backs are in the sense that they can be expressive. So it's a little up and down. So it's hard to say how he is felt about in the locker room on the defensive side. I had talked to a player or 2 off the record about this and just, you know, it seems like they're excited. Guys who have left the team are excited that the direction Kansas football is going to be in. And I just think it's really interesting to see how Kansas has done a really good job, I think, of gone out and gotten the guys they feel like on the coaching staff wise can make them a better team. I've been pretty impressed with the fact that they brought back Matt Lubbock, who was a really big instrumental guy for them a couple of years ago with Andy Kotelnicki. I think he led Kansas 2 top 50 offenses before he left. And no, he did that with battling cancer. I think he was going through chemotherapy at that time. And he has a pretty prestigious career. He brought Nevada to a top 50 offense from a top 150 the year before. So I think that's going to help him a lot. Having that familiarity of Coach Dabrowski and Lubick in the room is just going to make Jalen Daniels that much better next year. And, you know, I have high expectations for this coaching staff in the sense that it should be a step forward. I think Brian Borland, you know, on the defensive side needed to be, you know, considered of retirement or being replaced. And I think Kansas did that in the sense of, you know, it worked out for both parties.
I'll let a viewer, I should say, somebody that watches us on YouTube, have this next question. Trius Ken asks, and it does follow into what I was going to ask you anyway. We talk about all these new players needing to come in. I just wonder how you set expectations then next year, because it's a lot of new faces. And Ken asks about the offensive line specifically. You know, how realistic is it to bring in a bunch of new guys all at once and expect them to, you know, get after it? But as you know, I think that when we watch college football now, this is happening all over the place. So I don't think it's fair to say, oh, well, you know, but it's going to be a lot of new faces and maybe we shouldn't expect too much, because that's what kind of what everybody's doing to some degree.
Yeah. You know, I think on the offensive line thing, I will say this. Kansas has done a tremendous job of plug and playing guys from the transfer portal. Last year, they brought in Bryce Foster, all Big 12 player. You know, he was also, I think, number four in power four centers this past year, which is crazy, right? Like, that's a guy who was in the SEC the year before, and he's done a good job. They brought in a guy who was the Remington Award winner in Division II, who did a pretty good job this year, too. I think, you know, lineman is the least of Cade's concerns. I think that's the one thing. Like, obviously, there's a little bit of a, it takes some time to adjust. They brought in a lot of offensive linemen, but I've been really impressed with Leipold and his staff and being able to, you know, get the offensive line ready. I think since 2022, KU's been, you know, in the top half of the Big 12 in sacks allowed, you know, which is a great sign. You know, they have done a tremendous job of keeping, for the most part, Jalen Daniels upright and not, you know, having to really scramble as much. I know we had a couple of games this past year where, you know, there was a few times the offensive line didn't look as good, but those things happen, right? This Kansas team is not infallible. I think if there's one position that I'm not super concerned with and I have complete faith in on the transfer portal for Kansas to do well at, it's the offensive line. I think that Daryl Okpelsa has done a really good job this past year, but it's also just continuity, right, from last year. And on top of that, you know, they've consistently been able to bring in guys where it was Dominique Pooney the year before that. Now, you know, who have come in and played significant snaps and done a good job for them. Just going back to the overall question, I think it's really interesting because we have no idea. I have no idea what to expect because, you know, we thought this Kansas team was going to win a Big 12 title with so much more experience, right? And they didn't. They didn't even come close. I think it's so hard to make a judgment call on how good these people are. I think, you know, maybe my expectation for coming into this year was maybe you win five. You know, if that's a good year, five or six, seven, that's a good year coming into this upcoming year, of course. But, you know, depending on how the first couple games look, how they look on the offense side of the ball, I think that's going to be a big thing because Jalen has got to look how he's looked the second half of the season, not the first half of the season. Then we can kind of exceed lower, you know, up or down the expectations. But it is the way I look at this team with the amount of talent that they have to replace and the fact that it's not filled with a lot of older guys like last year's team was. If you make a bowl game, I consider that a successful season for Lance Leipold and that team.
You know, Sharias, you just used a word about 30 seconds ago, expectations. Let's swing to basketball, if you don't mind, and let's continue this little exploration of expectations. KU, 8-2, a loss with Missouri, a loss with Creighton. Got Brown coming up Saturday or Sunday. Then you start Big 12 play. I mean, you start Big 12 play December the 31st. Expectations. Now that you got 10 games on the books, what are your expectations? How are your expectations? Are they above? Are they below? What do you think on expectations for KU now that we're on the cusp of Big 12 play?
Listen, and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I'm a numbers guy as much as I'm an eye test guy. And I don't feel great about this Kansas team. I don't think they're the number one team in the country. I don't think they were what we thought they were. Maybe that will change. Maybe they won't. But I look at this team and I just see concerning trends across the board. I wrote about this story this morning that came out. But the free throw rate thing, is it a big issue? Yes, a little bit in the sense that no team ranked 360th or even close to that has been a title winner. Is it the end-all be-all? Not really. There's been multiple teams in the top 200s that have won a title. But.
Okay.
The last, since 2013, 2014, the teams that have been in the 200s in the free throw rate, you know what they've been in? Top 50 to top 100 in three-point percentage or three-point rate. One or the other. The one exception to that rule was that UNC team in 2016, 2017. You know what was special about that team? They were number one in offensive rebounding and number one in overall rebounding, which Kansas is not that, okay, as we know. So to me, as a guy that looks at the numbers, the guy that looks at what this Kansas team is, I think they are much more talented than last year. I think they can make a bigger run than last year. I think they can figure it out. But we are sitting here, and we are a game away from conference play, and we have no idea who the fifth starter is. We're still talking about KJ Adams, AJ Storr, and Ryland Griffin. We should not be talking about this. This is about to be January. We have no idea if this three-point shooting thing that everyone talked about was going to be so much better that everyone thought, including me, is for real. They're shooting 35.4% from three. Better than last year? Yes. They don't take enough threes where I really care about the percentage. Okay? They're 309th in three-point rate. That's horrible. They were 330th or something like that last year. I just sit there and I think it's going to come down to two things. The draw they get in the NCAA tournament bracket, because when I went back and I looked at this in 2021, 2022, that season they won the title. Let's call it what it was. That team wasn't that good in the regular season. People like to rewrite history, but they really weren't. They caught on fire in the NCAA tournament because they played the right opponents and they had the right matchups. I'm not sitting there and saying Kansas can't win a title. But now we're looking at the trends that what they can be and what they will become. I'm looking at maybe this isn't a title-winning team. Maybe this is a Sweet 16, Elite 8 team. Okay? I think that's where I'm at right now. Things can change. They always, you know, I'm never going to count out Bill Self. But I don't think this team is as good as anyone thought it was at preseason. And
yeah, I don't think
it's good or bad, I don't know.
I don't think that's unfair. It's really more about can they get there. I think as much as anything, the concerning thing for me is it still looks like a team that's way too reliant on Hunter Dickinson. And so like, I don't like seeing another dirty foul, whatever you want to call it, but another situation where Dickinson puts himself in a position to let the referees make a decision, right, on whether or not he can finish a game. Like, I don't like that. That needs to change. He's got to be smarter than that. We've seen that twice now this season. Can't and now he's got a reputation, right? That's not good either for officiating, because they can't seem to be anything but an offense that runs through him, right? Like, I think that's where I become concerned about it. If you want to compare it to last year, they were too reliant on him last year, and it just feels like they're too reliant on him again this year. And so when it's like, what can change? The only thing I could see on the roster that could change it is if like Zeke Mayo becomes this elite level scorer, because he seems to be the only one that's even remotely close to being able to do that. It doesn't look like Griffin and Storr can. So can Mayo become a bigger focal point in the offense? I think he's tried, right, to his credit. I think he's taken the shots. I think he's at least put in the effort into it. But I'm with you. I don't know if that's there.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about this after his game on Saturday or whatever. He had a career high 26 points. He hadn't hit 15 points since the second game of the season. Can we just talk about that? Zeke Mayo is by far their best transfer. He's been by far the guy that's come in and been the most comfortable in this Bill Self system. The guy that we thought was going to be the guy for Kansas this year outside of Hunter Dickinson was AJ Storr. He had 0 points at halftime, played a grand total of 6 minutes, took zero. I think he took two shots. You know what he ended up with? 2 points on three shots. He had one rebound, one assist. What are we doing here? This guy had 16 points per game in Wisconsin last year.
It doesn't make any sense.
Has he lost complete confidence in himself? Does Bill Self not believe in him? Is it a mix of everything? Probably. Okay. I'm not sitting there, you know, it just feels like the guys we thought were going to pick up the load, shoulder the load, haven't done that. And even KJ Adams is down. shooting wise, percentage wise, in the sense of scoring. He's averaging 8 points per game. He was 12 last year. That makes a difference. DeJuan Harris has been better this year, I think, to start off the year, but it's not enough of a big difference when everybody else is down. Even Hunter Dickinson hasn't been as good as last year, I don't think. He's had a couple of no-show games where he just hasn't been good because of either foul trouble or him being kind of neutralized. I think, you know, we look back at last year's team, we knew it was going to unravel the minute Kevin McCullough was completely out of the thing. This year's team, there's hope that maybe one of these transfer guys can come in and become the Robin that KU basketball so desperately needs him to be. The only guy that I can think can consistently do it and should be able to do it or has a chance of doing it is AJ Stoll. I'd be surprised if Zeke Mayo can come out there and put up 20 points a game every game or 15 in every single conference game. He didn't do it against non-con play.
He's going to try. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate that because he's at least going to try. Right now, it doesn't feel like you can even get the others to go for it, right? It's like, what are we waiting for? Like, go now. Now's the time.
Yes, and I respect that so much. He's not afraid of the moment. I think there are guys on that bench that are afraid of the moment, and it shows in their play. And it shows in their play. And I'm not trying to be hyperbolic or whatever, but this is my third year covering Kansas basketball. And if I get another year where they lose in the second round, I would be annoyed. Okay, because I missed UConn men's basketball by winning a title by a year. I miss Kansas winning by a year. My friends call it the Shreyas curse. They're just waiting for me to leave the beat so they can bet on Kansas.
Shreyas, I'm gonna tell you right now, if you try to do anything to the NCAA basketball tournament, you're a crazy person because it doesn't matter. There are years where great teams get bounced, and there are years where bad teams go deep. And there is no rhyme or reason to it. It's all about the matchup. So we know that.
100%.
So I wouldn't sweat that too much because it's you know, it is. Enjoy conference season. That's where you really get the, you know, you really get the lay of the land, which, by the way, starts on December 31st, which, by the way, is 13 days away. And in between, you know, over a 17-day stretch here, we'll see KU play only one game against Brown. If there's ever a time Bill Self can get through to this team, it's now. If there's ever a time he can reach one of these players to do it, it's now. That conference, you get Brown, and then you open the conference, and here we go. Looking for Shreyas's work on social media, always at the KC Star. Lots of great coverage of both football and basketball. Shreyas, we appreciate it, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Actually, we won't talk again next week. It's Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And I'm not sure if we have a show on New Year's Day either. We may have to reschedule you and get you in here on a different day. We'll get all over that here in a minute. Everything falls on a Wednesday. So there goes Shreyas. Follow his work at the KC Star on social media. We appreciate his participation here. Always really, really good stuff. If you missed any of it, if you joined us late, you can go back and watch on the Odyssey app. When we come back, it's hour number two. Want to tell you about Crestview Country Club. They got all kinds of stuff coming up here for the holidays. You don't want to miss it. It's more than just golf. It's more than just the sports. It's more than just the great pool in the summertime. They got a great restaurant, great bar, all kinds of great events for when the weather turns cold. And they'll take care of the kids with their kids club, too. Give them a call. Ask them about all their different kinds of memberships today. Tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. We appreciate their support. We're coming back. Hour number two right after this.